What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Matt.
Yeah!
Hey. Yeah, Matty Warburton!
Hit it.
I think that's my favorite drop now.
That's the only one you use now.
I know.
It's pretty dope.
It is a good one.
I know. I could use this.
That's a good one, too.
BJ? Isn't that your favorite?
That one's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's okay.
That's a no. We built
this city. There it is.
Oh. For music ones, I like that one.
That reminds me already. Because Jefferson Starship played at SeaWorld the week I was getting, while I was getting my knee done.
I forgot. They do concerts
my
there
hip
now.
Done.
Which is bizarre.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's the band that does We Built a City.
Yeah.
So I actually know that song. It's embedded into my mind as many SeaWorld show ops can tell you, as a song that was a Biff entrance.
Oh yeah,
long ago.
Hello everyone, I'm here. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding.
That was in the Fools with Tools, and so it was
back in the day.
Wow,
yeah, the original Biff.
Nice.
Fools with Tools.
That's old school.
That's when I first started was Fools with Tools.
Nice.
Yeah, Dallas used to walk out to that, and then he hates the song now.
Perfect.
I hated it. I don't know if I hated it
you
as
hate
much
it
then.
Just now. Yeah.
But I'm okay with it now, you know.
I hate Who Let the Dogs Out because of Pets, although I already
hated
Who
it
Let
before
the Dogs
pets,
Out.
So I had to deal with that like
but
yeah,
I amplified it by
double
a lot.
Hatred.
Yeah, we had to
by quite a bit.
Well, you know, and then it's like one of those things where it's like you for your own sanity, you have to get past it because you're going to hear it all the time.
All the time.
So We Built the City, I'm not there, like,
yeah,
but it has played so many times that like I don't care anymore.
But it's not played out.
I don't know, it's just a bad song, like,
wrong.
That's
where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. But thanks everyone out there for listening to our show. You can follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. That's Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. The email is lifesabinge@gmail.com. You can call the voicemail at 619-438-0532, 619-438-0532. And you can join our Patreon if you would like to become a subscriber and supporter of this show. Head over to patreon.com/lifesabinge and you can become a producer like Big Daddy Moneybags, Todd LaRoe, Jess Jansen, or Kathy Weintraub. Or you can become a couch potato like David, Mike, BJ, and Jared.
Woo!
Woo!
I practice that.
I was going to say.
Every day in the mirror.
Right on.
That's impressive.
Stare in the mirror. When you say the same thing for, I don't know, 3 years, you kind of just, this is a word vomit.
I would hope
mouth.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is year 4 of our show.
It sounds about
year
right.
Year 2 of me doing the stuff. 2.5, I think.
Old enough to talk back.
We lost Todd around episode 100, I think. And we're on episode 200 now. 210.
Something.
You lose Todd.
That's, yeah.
It's like you don't know where he is.
Well, we lost him as our sound engineer
but
slash producer.
He's listening right now.
Yes, he is. Todd the Rose!
Making his way across the Mitten State.
Yeah.
Michigan.
Right? Getting over to Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigander.
Oh. Crazy times.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
I mean, family and new state, and you know,
the adventure continues.
We love the Rose, and we want them to be happy.
Word, so. True story. But with all that being said, since we have a guest with us, let's go ahead and dive right into our show. So go ahead, take a breath with us right now. Life's a binge.
Right.
What's up?
What's up with you, BJ? Anything new?
No.
Okay, good.
How about you guys?
Hi, Matt. Wow.
Tell me all about it.
It's great. It's great.
What's great?
My brand new titanium hip.
Your what?
Titanium hip. What?
Hip. I feel like we missed out on a hip hop.
Hip hop array.
Hey, yep.
Hip hop eponymous.
Oh man, hip-hop.
That was cool. That was Ken Griffey's like walk up music was hip hop array.
Nice.
So that brings back.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So while coming up with all the different hip songs, hip to be square and hips
Dude,
don't lie.
Biz's message was fantastic.
Yeah, that's fun stuff.
Laughed just so hard.
That whole thing was really cool. Yeah. So as you can imagine, I was like, oh, you guys.
Mission complete.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. So, yep, I got the surgery done. It's a gruesome surgery.
Well, yeah. They rip your muscles, the ones you use the most, off of your body and then put stuff in there.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
There was talk that I was going to go home that day.
Right.
The whole thing is like the whole idea is just like
it's insane.
Yeah.
Cuz you imagine like someone going in it's just like a scooper and like and yep. And then chung, clang, 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 clang,
clang, clang, clang, clang. There's no cement apparently.
That's good.
The hip socket itself, they bore out one micrometer smaller than the hip itself.
Sure.
The new thing itself, and then pounded in place. And then it stays there, and that kind
of
grows.
So wait, they don't cut a piece of your pelvis out? They literally just put the metal thing into the socket of your old socket?
Yeah.
I thought they chopped off part of your pelvis, and that got replaced,
I didn't
too.
Really know how that worked either. Yeah. But I looked at the x-ray, and I was like,
maybe that's
huh.
how they use. Because I swear I've seen, like, bolts and stuff holding people's, like, pelvis
new
on.
Hips together?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming, anyway, that when they... It's hard to say. I got to trust the doctor. He said it went really well, though.
Totally.
And so they were saying, like, when I woke up, went in at crack of dawn at 5 in the morning.
Right.
Surgery was at 7:30. I started coming around about 2, about 1:30 or 2. And as I'm listening to, I'm hearing them say about, oh, he's getting discharged today. And I was like,
that's good.
Really?
I thought you were going to say something horrific. Like, I'm hearing them say, like, now, where does this piece go?
Right, yeah.
Anybody seen my keys?
Yeah, right.
I started to come to, and then I saw him just pick up the scalpel.
Right.
No!
Did you check for junior mints?
Right, yeah. Just to hear him say, now let's cut this fat bastard open. Right. It was a mistake, though. That I wasn't going home that day. They'd gotten a couple names mixed up.
Oh.
I'm like, well, you can make that mistake there. Let's hope you didn't make
right.
Do the wrong hip.
If you're going to make any mistake.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoops.
But, man, it hasn't been too bad. I mean, they give you the pain pills for every 4 hours right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Is it like the crazy stuff?
It's hydrocodone, which is like...
Oh yeah, that's the craziest.
I don't know what if that's Vicodin.
I have that.
Yeah, that's Vicodin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lowest version of an opioid.
Right on.
Yeah,
that I don't know.
Don't become addicted.
It's I don't want to be. That's for sure. And so right
is
now,
it that right? It's the lowest version.
I don't know.
Don't know that for sure.
I think it is because then it goes like up to Percocet and then.
Percocet.
I don't know.
Percocet.
Dude, it's so true. I took a Percocet one time at the doctor's office, and then I vomited like 20 minutes later.
Oh.
I was like, this is no good. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, good thing I'm not going to get addicted to this nonsense.
You know, one of the real downfalls of it is it binds you up like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the worst parts of it so far. Now that's kind of passing a little bit. Quite a bit, actually. It's almost fine now, but you don't go for 5 days like after the surgery, and then
that's a long time.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
like and that's normal, like 4 to 5 days.
Huh.
And then while you're still taking them regularly, it just doesn't happen easily.
That's
or pain.
So it's got it has to be an opioid then, because that's
it's
full on
no,
symptom
of
that.
It's a total opioid.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, it's definitely opioid.
Yeah, then it's the bottom tier.
But It's good.
That's how it starts.
And so now it's good.
Seriously, don't
finally
become addicted.
That's believe me, that's like my number one plan. My number one plan to the whole thing.
It's the number one problem in our country right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, truly. And the years ago when I got busted for weed at SeaWorld, I had to go into rehab. You do a lot of group stuff,
right?
A lot of group stuff, and
that's so funny.
It is kind of funny. It's hilarious. I was, and all in all, I was happy with
you suck dick for coke.
No, I was smoke weed and watch Power Rangers because I find it hilarious.
You in here for some marijuana? Boo this man!
That'll ruin your life.
So, but anyway. The pill stories were some of the worst, and the therapists were always saying, like, it's as hard as anything to kick.
Yeah.
It's the same as, I mean, they call it hillbilly heroin.
It's because it makes you feel good, and then when you don't take it, you feel awful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not just from the pain, like, once you start taking it regularly, not for pain, it gives you the warm fuzzies, and it's the one thing that when you stop giving it, well, not the one thing, but it's the major thing that when you stop giving your body that thing, it goes, why?
You know I like this.
Why? God, everything hurts. Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So it's good. I was six a day, like, every 4 hours, out of the box, and now down to two. Like I took one at 6 this morning to like get through the rest of the night, and the one before that was like 8 p.m. the night before, and the one before that was like 4 a.m. So I've been stretching them way out, like as much as 16 hours, and we're on 12 hours now.
Ooh.
No, 13 hours now since the last one. So it's been going good. And it's made number two so much better.
Your
poop's good?
My poop's much better. So.
That's a good sign that you're pooping. Not becoming addicted to them, because you'd be run
the
out
poop.
Of them by now.
Yeah, I may not use them all. So
exactly,
we'll see.
That's perfect.
We'll see how
that's
it goes.
Perfect. So. And then you keep them on hand, and you're like, oh, sweet, I just ripped my ankle on this freaking like sock in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And now I need to post up for a day. Bunk. Oop.
Yeah.
I'm done for today.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's
know.
What I because I never
call my name
because I never. Well, no, but I never used them all. And then I was
right.
Like, oh, sweet, I have like six left over. And then literally, I'd like roll my ankle doing something dumb, like walking down the hall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm off work tomorrow, and my ankle hurts like a mother.
And I'm gonna watch this show.
I'll just pop a painkiller and sit on my butt.
Go to sleep.
But like, that's the good thing because like I didn't eat all of them.
Right.
You know, I'm like,
right.
Oh man, this hurts. What do I have?
Crushing
I got Advil or one
or...
extra
right.
Vicodin. Yeah. I'll take the Vicodin.
I listened to all the advice. Like people were telling me, like, you know, like, listen, you don't try to be macho and like, you know, get through it, because then you're gonna try to catch up to
I
it.
Can handle the pain.
Yeah, and then you're once you're trying to catch up to it, it's a disaster and it makes everything really bad. So I just followed the directions and it's
follow the directions.
Is that good idea in the kitchen? Good idea from your doctor.
Good idea for life.
Yep, in general. I'm gonna wing it.
Every once in a while, you just kind of wing it. But
how was going under? Because like, did you do you remember like when I went under in surgery? It was basically like they put like a mask over my face and they're like, "This is oxygen," and I was like, "This kind of smells minty." And then I woke up.
You know. This is my second surgery. This is my second surgery in a couple months because I got my bladder done not that long ago, and that was how it was for the bladder. And I'm like, so here, just breathe in. This is just oxygen. And I'm like, now if it's just oxygen, like. You know, so I'm like, why are you lying to me? First was my thought. Like,
they don't want you to breathe differently,
right?
But still, like,
if you get in your head about like what you're breathing, you'll be like,
I can't breathe.
Take some deep breaths.
Yeah.
This time though, they gave me a cocktail of stuff like
Ooh.
By pills.
Oh.
And then I was kind of like out before. I kind of remember getting wheeled into the room. I remember like leaving and hitting some bumps and you know the ceiling and everything. And I remember kind of going into the room, but I don't remember breathing anything in then. Maybe I did. I'm sure I probably did. Because they have to breathe for you, so they have to put something over your mouth.
I just got like an IV injection when I went under. And the doctor
might have been that.
The doctor says to Lindsay, "If you want to ask him anything, do it now. He's gonna be real susceptible to being honest." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And then I was out a few minutes, like a minute after that. But
not cool, man. Your sister came on to me. I swear, that's why. So
I've never been put under. I've never had like laughing gas. I've never had any.
I've never had laughing gas.
I've had
either.
Like a Novocaine shot.
Yeah,
or like a just what's topical stuff. I've only had topical
a local
stuff.
Anesthetic.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
But that's what's up, and things are great. Things are great. We're not quite 2 weeks in.
You're not breakdancing yet, though.
Not breakdancing yet, but dude, I stand straight, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like just like hips aligned and standing straight, and your
you didn't look like you were hobbling when you walked in.
It's not. It's a little. It's still. It's tender for sure. And yeah. I brought the cane just in case it's going to be tender later because I'm. Getting at the end of my pain pills this stretch, so.
But like I just saw you go from the door of the garage to where you sit when we record, and you walked better right now than you had the previous months that I've seen.
For sure, absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely,
that's incredible.
It's great.
It is incredible. So,
that's what's up with me.
Word. Science,
science, right? Science.
Rich.
I hate my neighbors.
Oh no!
I hate them.
It escalated even more from the parking thing?
No, it's a different one.
Oh,
so
good.
This is the person
good.
Who's
you hate
like
both your neighbors.
Every neighbor I've met.
Two for two.
I've hated them all.
We're batting 1,000, guys.
Great.
It's the one that's like, so our door is, you know, here in the corner, and their door is like here in the opposite corner.
Sure.
And when it was like balls hot for the past couple of weeks, we've had the regular door open, and we have like a security door, which is nice. Oh, it's nice to have a real, like, actual security door to keep it slightly cooler. And it's not that they're like bad people. They're so loud. And you know, people, not like, not even yelling, but like if I just wanted to talk like really loudly, like if I just talked louder and louder and louder all the damn time, like they're right in front of you. Like, why do you talk to your friends? And they have friends over all the time. Why do you talk to your friends like this? I just can't handle it anymore.
Like everyone must hear what I'm saying
right
now.
Right. Like I want the entire room to stop what they're doing and listen to what I'm saying.
And the building.
And
the whole building must hear.
It's not like at weird hours or anything like that. So I don't, you know, I can suck it up and deal. So I don't feel like I have to go over there and like bang on the door, like, keep it down.
It's 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
Right.
They're clearly very young. And I think they're married. He's in the military and he's not around a lot. So she's always having friends over and they're just listening to music all day, which I also wouldn't care about if it wasn't the same fucking songs over and over again. And they'll watch a music video and analyze it and then rewatch it and reanalyze it and then watch it again. And I can't take it anymore.
That sounds amazing. That sounds.
I can't.
Who are they listening to?
Take it. Taylor Swift.
I was going to say, shake it up. Lover. Shake it up.
Yeah.
Lover.
Lizzo, which I'm like, oh, I could deal with that, you know, once, but like 7 times in a row, I can't do.
What do you think Swift's saying in this scene?
Right. Why would they dress? Why did they dress her that way? I don't know. What do you think? I want that outfit so bad. Do you think you can even buy it? I don't know. We should look online right now. I'm looking at Amazon, and I don't see it anywhere. This is real, by the way. I'm not making that up. That's actually what they said. Also, I know way more about her sex life than I ever want to know about.
Fun.
I want to know that much about my closest friend's sex life.
Well, you'd rather it be
let
anonymous.
Alone an actual. Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you're gonna
someone I don't know, if I have to know,
right?
It's better a stranger.
Yeah, there are people across the hall. I mean, the alley. Who every so often, not that much. Like I never hear it. I do hear it every so often, but you're like okay, but you I don't want it tarnished in my mind by seeing anybody.
No.
Like
I don't need to put a face to the sound.
Nope, I don't. Nope. In my mind, it's great. So.
She also literally says literally. Like literally every other literal. Say literally one more time. This is going to be a rich shaped hole in the wall.
I'm going to punch you in the face. I'll
punch you right in the face. So I came home last week and I was sick, but way worse than I am now. Like now I'm on the downslope. Like everything was clogged and I couldn't hear and I couldn't even sit still. It was that bad. I'd never been that congested before. And they were being super loud. And I just got back from this bar mitzvah and I was like trying to go through the pictures. And I was like, I can't even concentrate on this because everything is terrible and I want to murder humans. I never feel that way. I usually never feel that way.
You mentioned Lizzo. I've been hearing a lot about Lizzo and mm-hmm. I have no idea who Lizzo is.
What's her song? She's got a song.
Oh, apparently she's been doing music since like 2008, if not before that. apparently. I don't know. But I don't know who this person is.
I couldn't replicate it for you even if I tried. It's, the music's, I guess, poppy and good. And
I hear she's, you know, like very positive and like very forward thinking.
She's a larger woman, so very body positive and all
Should
that stuff.
Play Lizzo?
We played at the break. Okay. Oh, Siri,
go for it.
Go for it, Siri.
Play, okay. Sorry, Siri.
Why is your Siri British?
Play because.
Like how we both have the same thoughts. Like, wait, what? Let me tell you, BJ.
I don't know. It's I like it that way. Now do you have a woman or a man?
Woman. Samantha has a man.
I haven't changed it. It's a woman.
Samantha has man,
I think,
Siri.
It doesn't seem like almost everybody is like opposite sex of their. For their Siri,
I really haven't noticed. I don't think so.
What I've noticed, everyone's Siri voice is the opposite sex.
Samantha changed it to the man because when she first got her iPhone that got Siri on it, she thought it was the most funny thing to talk to Siri and make her do stupid stuff. Tell me a joke, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she tried to get her to say something, and she kept like beating around the bush and not saying what Samantha wanted her to say. So she literally said, and I quote, "Fuck this bitch," and changed it to the man so she didn't have to hear the girl anymore.
That'll show her.
And that's my wife.
That's the reason.
Well, you know,
I hear this bitch no more.
You have a voice on there, and then there's a particular way they say something where you're like, I don't like the way you say that. So that's why I switch it to something else. And I had it Australian for a while, and like Irish. The Irish one was kind of cool.
It's funny because when she asks Siri to do something. And the man voice comes out. I'm like, yeah, that's normal. Whatever. No big deal. But when she uses the GPS and the man voice is like, turn left at the next whatever. I'm like, this is weird. Like everything else.
It should be a woman.
But like, it just sounds weird because I'm so used to Siri's voice because I just have used her since day one. And so I've literally heard the same woman in my ear for what, 6-7 years or however long she's been out. Like, I don't know. So it's just weird. When I hear a different version, I'm like, wait, what? That's not what Siri sounds like.
Right.
It's weird.
But no, you use American.
Yeah, regular old Siri.
Yeah. Mine is the Google Assistant. They don't have elegant names in Google. It's like, you're a robot. God damn it. We're not naming you.
Well, if you have the Windows phone, you're Cortana because they're Microsoft.
Yeah, because Windows phone is
apparently
everywhere.
It's a cool phone. I don't know, but.
They were. Because... Are they even still
making
Windows
phones?
You're
the one, huh?
yeah. I'd had one friend who had a Windows phone, and it was very cool.
Yeah.
It was.
I had a Windows phone once, and I loved it, except nobody made any apps for it. So I'm like, right. Well,
why would
I? It's a phone.
Yeah. All this does is call people. I don't want to call people.
That's hilarious.
Oh, good times.
We don't have to listen to Lizzo. Lizzo.
Play the break.
What's up with me?
LIZZO.
I don't know what's up with me. When did we last record?
We 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
I don't know what's going on, dude.
Delivering the mail.
You're 2 weeks closer to delivering the male baby child of yours.
Yes, that is the
delivering that mail. Yeah.
We have our appointment coming up. Our anatomy appointment. That was pretty good. Our anatomy appointment is coming up on Friday.
Mm.
So that's gonna be cool. We're gonna find out if it has all its limbs, which is exciting.
Not necessary.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Oh God, what have I done? That's really. I don't know anything else that really happened. We've been starting our Halloween stuff, getting stuff down out of storage and starting to get that stuff decorated because it's September and we're weird.
Fall's right. It's not weird.
All the Halloween people are like, that's how it is.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you all complain like, I wish it was longer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And the rest of us are like, shut up. Actually, I'm the only one.
Right. Wait till Christmas. And I'm like, I like Christmas too. Yeah, most people are like, you like Halloween. That means you hate Christmas. And I'm like, nope. I like them both.
But what
and
you're I really saying...
And I like that I can decorate for both of them.
Thanksgiving just sits sadly in the corner.
Right.
Completely
that's a day.
Skipped
no
over.
One gives
See,
us thanks.
When people are like, boo, it's not Christmas season, it's Thanksgiving season. I'm like, wrong. There's no Thanksgiving decorations. There's like, oh,
sure
we can put
is.
Out fall-colored things.
Yeah, and gourds.
Cornucopia.
Gourds, yeah.
Gourds. I put out gourds.
Corn thing. Yeah, corns.
You don't decorate
corns
your
house. You don't eat
you
for whatever
deck
reason.
Your house up in cornucopias, guys.
I'm going to.
I just remember school.
One
just,
out.
Having
just
red and orange
Jared, I'm going to Thanksgiving the shit
See,
out of my
that's
house.
That's just fall general fall decorations. Thanksgiving is not a holiday season.
I'm going to get some headdresses and hats. Wait a minute.
You can watch Adam's Family too,
right?
Yeah, actually, that's a great
Planes,
idea.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Those are like the two.
Actually, we do watch that.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving. Those are
the two.
This is another one, too, with Holly Hunter. There's a Thanksgiving one, right? Or maybe,
oh,
maybe that's a Christmas one. I don't know.
Oh, are you thinking of Mixed Nuts? Is that Holly Hunter in that?
She is in that, I believe.
I thought it was.
But
like
I don't think that's Thanksgiving.
Maybe I think that's a Christmas one with Holly Hunter. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, we digress. I don't really know of anything else that's up with me. Nope, I got nothing. Who cares?
What's up with you, Matt?
I'm sure something happened, but yeah, what's up with you, Matt? You're more important.
Oh, okay. So I'm getting married, so that's a big thing.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you made it seem so cool, Jared, so now we're all doing it.
Word.
Mm-hmm. Only because Jared did first.
Guys, yeah. I was the first one in this room. I was married before it was cool.
Yeah, you set the trend.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first one.
Yeah. You'll be the second.
That's right.
And Rich will be the third, and BJ will be engaged the longest.
Yup.
That's my wife.
My wife.
Yeah, so just getting a lot of that stuff kind of locked in. I moved now from my roommate situation back into my mom's, and then I'm going to move into my future wife's house.
Word.
So that's getting all ready up in Claremont. So I'll be a Claremont dude.
Claremont dude.
Right on.
Yeah. So that's basically what's going on with me. I also started doing that voice acting thing that you've been doing, because you talked about it on one of the podcasts.
I did that before it was cool.
Yeah. And so I'm like,
you're setting all
the
trends.
Don't roll your eyes, dude. Rich. They can hear it on the microphone.
I know they can. That's why I do it.
It's really fun. Just like coming out and like doing all those voices. Although the weird thing is that I'm like, oh, sweet. I got booked I got booked another gig. And then actually like went and like looked on, oh, okay, let's see this person's reel or what they've been doing, and I'm pretty sure it's like a little kid that does like like epic Mickey, like he takes screenshots from and I'm like, I mean, I could be like doing this for a 9-year-old, so
yeah,
I've done it. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. Just gotta start somewhere.
But it's fun. It's still really fun. So you're like, all right, really there fun. You go.
The millionaire 9-year-old with a YouTube channel.
That's right.
Probably.
Afford to pay you.
So. Yeah. They just send you over the script and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
What kind of voice do you want?
Mm-hmm. You're the boss, Billy.
Yeah, exactly. So
it would be better if there was more. What website are you using?
So I'm using the Behind the Voice Actors.
Okay.
And then there's also that other website that
casting
everybody
call.
It's like Discord or something like that.
Oh yeah.
That they contact you on say like, send files through here.
Every time I've sent files, they just go, great, thanks. And then I'm like, okay, cool. And I've seen like a couple like finished products and I'm like, okay, I'm never gonna
show. Did
they
use your voice?
That was my question.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course they did. But I just, as an actor, I really desperately desire direction, and when I'm like, I think this is what sounds good, I'm gonna do a voice like this for whatever character, and like that's what I do on the audition, and then they're like, yep, you got it, and then they send me the lines, and then I do everything in that voice, and then I'm like, here's the files, let me know if you need anything else, and I always just get like a great thanks in response, and I'm like,
yeah,
I guess it's all good.
Is it good?
Like, do you want me to do take three
slower,
again? And faster. I just never hear back. So
yeah,
that's the big downfall.
It is, and but it's a lot of fun doing it. And I didn't realize like the little unleashed passion I have for doing voice things. And I'm sitting in my room going like, hey, no, don't go over there. That's the thing that I don't like to do. You know,
exactly. Dude. And that's the best thing about it is. Or that's what'll put you a step above somebody else, is when you literally are just having fun.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need a monster. And you're like, okay. And you just turn on the microphone, you sit a little bit away, and you're like, and you like make the weirdest like faces and sounds and everything. And you're like, yeah, that's probably what they want.
Reminds
me
of that.
It's like,
I wouldn't know because they don't give me any feedback.
Reminds me of that clip of Alan Tudyk doing the chicken sounds for Moana.
Yeah.
And he's like, like, and he turns the camera and goes, I went to Juilliard.
Exactly. It's true. Like,
that's funny.
You just let your inhibitions fly out, and like, it's fun. It's fun as hell.
Yeah. And then I started listening to Talking Tunes after it's canceled. Or, well, it didn't get canceled. It's finished.
Turned it off, yeah.
But
that's what made me realize I really wanted it.
But yeah, I think Rob Paulson talks about that, of, you know, the freedom of, you know, not being looked at, and you're just doing your own thing, and it's like it's the most freeing, and there's like no really like age tap out. I mean,
yeah, imagine there's like you know, the kind of the anonymity freedom that we feel on the internet.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same type of thing for the voice. Like, well, no one can really see me, so look at this. You know, well, I guess don't look at this. Listen to this.
And what he said on that show all the time was like, yeah, and where else do you get to be a talking avocado?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. And, like, what does that sound like? I don't know. Maybe an avocado sounds like this. And, like,
that's
maybe
perfect.
That's what they want. Yeah. Right. But, yeah, like, who the hell knows? Maybe this is the avocado they're looking for. Like, and it's just.
Dastardly avocado.
It's just fun. Like, it's so fun.
Where did they get a load of me?
Yes. Yes.
Sweet.
Well, that makes. That, oh.
Oh, everything's
buttons.
Falling.
No.
It's all falling apart.
That's what's up. What's up?
This just in. With Rich Suplee.
All right, so I do have regular entertainment news, but I also have just an absolute flood / deluge of football news. So I could make it all football.
Yes. Yes, please. But before, real quick.
Sure.
So Labor Day weekend, which we hadn't recorded since then. Since that happened or whatever, I got an email from a company called Disney Corporation that was like, you can sign up for Disney Plus early because you are a D23 member.
Right.
And you can have it for 3 years if you pay us annually right now. And we'll give it to
for
you
all 3 years?
For $3 a month for 3 years. And so I gave them $140 of my money, and I will now have Disney Plus until the year 2022.
Right on.
But
it's like half price.
Gotcha.
Yes. That's cool.
And like, I don't care. I was like, you know what?
You're gonna
like,
get it anyway.
I'm going to probably want to get it, and I'm not going to want to have to pay them every month.
You're gonna
get
it
anyway.
I have
the money right now, so I might as well just pay them right now.
When does it drop?
November something. 12th?
That sounds right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll whatever. See. When it drops, I'll have it for 3 years.
I'll try it for a month, and then we'll see. Especially, like, see how it goes with the ESPN and all that stuff. So
I just want to watch Mandalorian. I want to watch the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan when it comes out in 17 years. I want to watch all the Marvel show. I just, whatever.
And plus, that's going to be a series, not a movie?
Yeah, it's a series. I just want it. I just want there to be, like, dumb stuff, like classic DuckTales on there or Gummy Bears, which I'm sure is not going to be on there. But it would be awesome if it was.
Tweet
but
at
they
them.
Won't have
tweet
the,
at them every day.
Right.
They won't
you
have
want
the
that show on there.
I'm sure they're supposed to have some of their movies, but like the stuff that's like that's in the vault.
Right? So that and
piss
that was
off,
one of the
Disney.
Pieces. That was one of the pieces of news that I had that isn't football related is that they've already run into the problem, I guess, with the Fox properties, small indie theaters wanting to show Fox movies, and Disney's like, nah, you're not doing that.
Really?
Oh.
That's in the vault.
What do you think is going to happen to the like the Rocky Horror?
That's my biggest question.
Yeah.
And I've looked for news on this, and I've heard nothing.
Like
nothing
they won't let them do it anymore.
For Rocky Horror, we don't know. There's whisperings that there will be an exception because that's become its own like
it's
sort
it's
of
a thing, right?
Yeah, it's become its own thing.
I kind of hope they don't
let them do it.
Let them do it.
You just want to hate Disney.
I do want to hate Disney. I want to hate the whole.
I hope
freaking
they shit on our parade.
Yeah, and just like, so people are like, "Oh, you know, you can never do this anymore." Like, then you can't. Well, I can't only.
Yeah,
see
I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting to think about all the, and it's because they have a lot of stuff that's already on Hulu. So it's like, are they going to leave it there? Or, you know, or Disney Plus?
They own. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Hulu's a big company.
Yeah.
So you don't shutter it.
No.
So everyone goes to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But you or could.
You
they
absolutely
could.
But
could.
See, what they should do is literally keep Disney Plus quote-unquote pure.
Literally.
And just have it be. But I do mean it. They literally should keep Disney Plus pure, so to speak.
Just Disney.
Where it's Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, the big three that they have that they're like, that's their flagship now.
Yeah.
And just put everything else on Hulu because Hulu's like the adult TV. Like, and your kids should be able to pick up Disney Plus and watch whatever's there.
Especially
with the theme of like Marvel and stuff being PG-13 and all that stuff.
The interface for Hulu, at least on the TV app, makes me absolutely crazy.
Yes.
It sucks.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation, it's fine.
It's like, not the best.
It's not as good. I mean, I'd call it better than Prime.
Yeah, Prime's the worst one for sure.
Prime is terrible.
Yeah.
Because you watch something, it's like, I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch that again someday. It's like on your watch list. Like, where is it?
Yeah.
It's gone. Just take it off. You've watched this already. Why would you ever want to watch it again?
Amazon's at the bottom. People don't do that with movies. HBO, Hulu, Netflix. Netflix is the bomb. Yeah, they figured it out.
Yep.
Okay, on to news.
I wish you had like a, you need a,
I know, I wish I had the
Did you guys watch any of the games this weekend?
I watched all of NFL Red Zone starting at 10 o'clock in the morning until 5:30 p.m.
I had Red Zone on.
I did not get off my couch except for to pee and to get another beer.
Long. So if you're watching in the morning, that means the majority of what you watched was the Ravens versus the Dolphins.
Yes, just
because
Lamar
the Baltimore
Jackson
Ravens
going ham
destroyed the Dolphins, and because of that, Lamar Jackson was named AFC Offensive Player of the Week,
which he should have,
rightfully so.
Five touchdowns. Chance.
Which directly leads me into my second piece of football news is that reportedly multiple Miami Dolphins players are calling their agents, looking to go anywhere but Miami.
Oh, wow.
Because for those of you that don't know, they've already made so many different, not controversial, but a lot of different off-season moves, offloadings, trades, pick giveaways, all this stuff. Basically, it kind of looks like they're saying, look, we're not going to win this year.
They're trusting the process, so to speak.
We're just not going to win this
John
year.
John Gruden style.
Yeah.
Right. So we're cleaning house wholesale, like, buy five for a dollar. Sorry, football's just going to suck if you're a Miami fan this year.
Oh,
which
I
get it. I just
Trevor.
Hate.
That sucks.
Trevor agrees. I just hate that that's the way that they do it. Like, I don't, like, the, right. Sorry, fans, like, you're just going to hate this for a little while.
Right.
Maybe it'll get better because there's no guarantee.
Just be like the Chargers and just make small moves for the whole history of the franchise and suck forever.
Be Midland for like 20 years and keep people waiting in the wings.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. I don't know how I really feel about that.
Yeah.
A lot of my football news is I can't believe this actually happened in football, but
true.
In the Miami Dolphins tailgate, some fans set up their own strip club.
Jesus.
No.
And there's video. So if you want to see that, go to the Daily Snark. You can find
it. In the parking lot?
In the parking lot.
Ooh.
Underneath one of those, like, you know if they go like an art fair, they have like little like pop-up tent things?
Right.
Yeah, there's a stripper pole right in the middle of it, and there's actual strippers and people throwing money and everything.
That can't be legal.
Go NFL.
I think it is.
Go NFL.
It's a family league.
Well, right? See, there's things that happen at tailgate. Like, technically, you're in public, and you're not supposed to be drinking, but everyone drinks in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So why is that a different rule? Than
drinking barbecue and all that.
Exactly. Where are you going to draw the line?
Well, wait a minute. The reason they're
I'm just saying I'm pro for this.
Jared's pro strip club.
I'm pro for this before BJ just said what he said, but I'm not even going to repeat.
Go NFL.
On the darker side of the football news, there was a Giants fan who threatened to shoot up Gillette Stadium because the New England Patriots signed Antonio Brown. And he was rightfully arrested and swiftly taken to court. I don't know what actually happened after that.
People are stupid.
And I didn't want to like rant about this, but a small thing. I like sports.
Yes, me
I like
too.
Sports a lot. Sports are not like my entire identity.
Truth.
Right. Yes.
And when something goes wrong with my sports team, which let's face it,
I'm used to it.
I'm used to that. It's you know. Yeah, that sucks for like a few minutes.
Right.
You know, don't let that people let that ruin their day.
Yeah.
And some people let it really ruin their day. So they threaten or actually commit violence against other people. And it's just not that important.
No.
Like it's really not.
It is not at all.
It's not that important. It's fun. And it's a thing that we can all get into and we can share amongst each other and you can talk smack and you can interact with other human beings and you have all this, you all have this shared interest and that's great. And when it doesn't go your way, just let it go, man.
Yeah.
Like it's not that important.
Just throw your hat on the ground of your living room and stomp your feet for a little bit and go, God dang it.
Yeah.
Why every freaking year, the Chargers, and then it's over and you're like, okay,
yeah,
next year.
That said, fuck Antonio Brown.
Yes. True.
Which leads me into my next fun news story.
He's
for those
on
of
my
you,
team.
Those of you who watch, he's on mine too, my other league. For those of you who watch Monday Night Football.
Team name is, by the way?
What is it?
Sting Like a Bee.
Oh, but
boo!
But shouldn't
boo!
It be Sting Like a Bee?
Yeah, but
if that's what you're going for.
Boo, BJ.
It's implied like that because also
says,
I'm the busy
bee.
Boo, the queen
right,
of garbage.
Right, bee, like a bee, spelled
right.
out bee.
Yes.
Because my other fantasy league name is the Busy Bees, and it's been the bees forever. So I've had a bee logo for years and years.
Tangent.
Uh-oh.
I want to hear all your team names.
I've only got two.
Oh, you only got two?
Yeah.
So it's just those two.
The Busy Bees and
Sting
Like a
Bee.
Nice.
What are your team names, Jared?
I am Boomin Newman and Amazin Klavan. They are both mailman references.
That's awesome.
I love it. I like to do like player name
right.
Team names. You know this.
Yes.
So in our league, it's Howard the Buck.
Yep.
Because I have OJ Howard, which he sucks because I'm going to change that name. I don't know what I'll change it to. Actually, I do know what I'm going to change it to. I'll save that for you.
Excellent.
I have Aaron Rodgers on another team, so the team name is Won't You Be My Neighbor? And it's a photoshopped Aaron Rodgers
Mr.
head
Rogers.
On Mr. Rogers' body.
That's good.
And the other one, I have Saquon Barkley, so the team name is Osaquan UC. And I cut him out of like a jumping like touchdown and pasted it over an American flag.
That's fantastic.
That's good too.
I'm proudest of that one. I'm like, that's like out of nowhere.
Yeah,
that's
wanted to do stuff like that, and I was thinking like
clever
a name with Alvin Kamara. Like I was thinking like Alvin and the Chipmunks, but I couldn't think of anything like that way. And
combine it with another player. Somehow.
Kamara Chameleon or something like that.
Yeah.
Kamara Chameleon.
I can't even say that.
Kamara Chameleon.
I gotta get in on this fantasy stuff sometimes.
Just so you can make puns.
You get
yes.
That's the best part.
That is a lot of fun.
That's really the best part.
The best one you've ever heard.
Yeah.
What do you think the best one you've ever heard?
Probably somewhere over Dwayne.
It's got to be
over Dwayne.
That is the best one ever. Like even when you heard that the first time, you're like, so there's a player named Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, okay.
Like Dwayne, his last name is Bowe.
Yeah.
And so somewhere over Dwayne Bowe. Like
it's the best.
It is just like as soon as I heard
time.
It, I was like, well, there will never be a better name.
That's real hard to beat.
Yeah, I was like,
real hard.
Just like bow down. I'm like, all right, well, I'll never come up with a name that good.
Yeah.
I think what my next. Favorite one that I had was a couple years ago. There's a kicker named Chandler Catanzaro.
Right.
And I had, so my team name was the Settlers of Catanzaro.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Which was good. Not hilarious, but good.
That's good.
Ah, I love it. I love it.
It's Settlers of Catan is a game.
What? You play Settlers of Catan?
Dude,
no.
Bring it on.
Is it on the phone?
No.
No.
There is a phone version of it, but it's a board game. It's a tabletop game.
No. I have played that, where you kind of you gather resources.
Yeah.
All the sheep.
Everyone's
dude.
Played
you
Settlers of Catan.
All
yeah.
At least
once. I played it once, one night.
Did you get all the
fun.
Sheeps? Because that's the secret, guys.
Get the sheep.
Get them as many as you can.
I mean, that's a secret in life, too.
get
the sheep behind.
Dude, I'm a sucker for that game. I literally go for the longest road every time.
Always.
And it's my downfall. That's all I try to do is I'm going to get the fucking longest road. I'm going to get those extra tiles. It's going to happen. And everyone's like, it's like when Lisa and Bart go to play Rock, Paper, Scissors. And she's like, poor defenseless Bart always chooses rock.
Good old rock
never fails. And everyone that I can tell is just sitting there across the table going, poor defenseless Jerry, going for the longest road. Somebody block him, and then someone puts one little ding, and I'm like, damn it! I love that game.
That's a great – I love the way you married those two things. Yeah. That's wonderful. Since we're on – Antonio Brown.
Boo.
I won't go too far on it because it's been in the news way too much and it's been up and down. And if you're one of the people like BJ who has him on your fantasy team, one day you're like, yay. And next day you're like, boo. And next day you're like, yay. And then you're like, boo. Most recently, he's been accused of, in federal civil court, he was accused of sexual assault
right.
on a former physical trainer. Honestly, and
that
I haven't read.
A little...
I haven't read a ton about it, but what I have read about it, it does sound kind of fishy.
Yeah.
And
the third time, yeah, like, wait
yeah.
a minute.
And I have text to prove it. And it's like, well, he's saying he's innocent, obviously, but he's also saying
right.
that, I mean, we don't know what's happening. If he's guilty, then fuck him.
Right.
But
yeah,
if he's not, if he is innocent.
I'm not an Antonio Brown apologist.
His story holds up, he's like, well, yeah, we had a consensual weird relationship where things were said that were kind of weird, but it was all consensual. And she's like, nope, look at these text messages. They're fucked up. And he's like, well, that's kind of how we talk to each other.
Yeah.
And then, but my biggest red flag for it was that the story dropped on TMZ. Like, that's who had it first.
Yeah.
It's since come out on all everywhere because it's a story.
Right.
But when TMZ breaks the news of crazy NFL player, like, this guy's crazy. Look what he's doing. Plus, he's a rapist. It's like,
watch your sources.
Right. Says who?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, says her, and if she's right, then good. I'm glad it's out there and he's a piece of shit. But if it's not real, then it's like, come on, internet,
I despise TMZ, like, with passion.
We can just go backwards in time along the Antonio Brown roller coaster. Then there's the whole thing where is he really kind of off and crazy, or was he deliberately acting crazy so the Raiders would let him go,
right?
So that he could go sign with the Patriots. And if that was his plan, did the Patriots know about it? And at what point did they know about it?
Collusion.
Did they encourage him to do that? Was there collusion? Like, are they actually cheating the system to try and get the star player onto their team?
I mean, he did say that, like, he had, like...
It's kind of crazy.
He said he had a social media team, like, helping get him cut.
And, like, the produced videos.
The video,
like,
of the
reaction
phone call
of being called. And
yeah, that was... the whole thing was disturbing.
Right? I don't know about this, man.
Like, I'm just thinking, like, as a Raider fan, where you're, like, so excited about getting this top-notch guy.
Yeah, number one.
Literally the best receiver in the league.
Yeah, just wanted to get him on the field and reap the benefits of his talent.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm free, and running off. Woo, I'm cut. Yay. Yeah. I'm finally free. Like,
I was like, oh, cool,
you're finally
you.
Free. You got a $100 million contract. What are you talking about free?
Yeah, and you've been there for, what, a month?
Yeah.
Douche.
Barely even been there.
My helmet doesn't
fit. Hasn't been doing anything.
Yeah, nothing. Except be a star.
I'm glad you mentioned that. He was not wearing that helmet today at practice with the Patriots.
Idiot.
Wearing a regular ass helmet.
Yeah.
One of his things was
fine.
Oh, I can't play because this helmet's weird. I want my old helmet back. I need to have a.
Oh, that's weird.
I need to have a particular helmet or else I'll be able to play.
And then he shows up with the Patriots and they're like, wear your new helmet. And
he's like,
okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want Tom Brady throwing me touchdowns.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
He's also staying in Tom Brady's house.
Yes. Yes, he is.
The news never ends.
This has levels to it.
Antonio Brown, baby. Drama.
If you went back to, like, the beginning of the summer and just read every piece of news, Matt, it reads like a bad soap opera. Like, this can't be real.
Starting with him being on The Masked Singer in the off season.
Yep.
Step one.
Wait, what?
Because we're a TV show.
Step one. He was on The Masked Singer last off season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
Right after he left the
Pittsburgh
I mean,
he has
Steelers.
Kanye potential.
Yes.
It is.
You are correct. It's that level.
Yeah, it is like that.
Even the video of Gruden calling him like, yo, man, what's up? Worried about you and all this stuff. And I'm like, you're airing this video. I'm like, this
of a
is
phone call that you recorded of somebody else.
Of a guy.
Maybe with or without their knowledge.
I mean, he's since come out and said he didn't care. He'd use it or whatever. But it's like, this is a guy, as far as I'm aware. Here's a guy. Right now I'm Chris Collinsworth. Great. Great.
Sorry,
dude. But he's getting a phone call from a coach who seems genuinely worried about the man.
Yeah.
Not his top wide receiver.
Yeah.
Not like, I want to win football games. He's like, people are concerned.
Are you okay?
We're concerned. Yeah. You're acting weird. Are you okay? And the guy makes a mockery of it as a video.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck you, dude. This guy's literally concerned for your well-being.
Yeah.
He wants you to be a well...
Yeah.
Why do we talk about it? Antonio
exactly.
Brown.
Moving on.
Sting like AB,
so
right?
We can move on. We can move on from that to other news from the Monday night game, because I'm just going to have a little fan service for myself. Because yes, there was the chant, the fuck AB chant, that you could hear if you were watching the game on TV.
Truth.
Which
that game wasn't going to bring me any joy, so I turned it off.
Oakland fans, if you've never been to a game in Oakland, which I'm sure none of you have, there's no atmosphere like that. There's just no sport. There's no sports atmosphere, with the exception of maybe Philly, the Eagles fans. Even if you're an opposing team fan, most who I've talked to have had a great time.
Right
great
on.
Time.
That's cool.
The worst thing, like, on average, the worst that'll happen to you is you'll get trash talked pretty hard.
Right.
Somebody may throw a peanut or two at you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
That's it.
Yeah.
No big deal.
That's what you expect.
It's a high energy, like, everyone is into it. no matter how shitty the game is going.
If I walked into the Coliseum wearing a Chargers jersey, I would be upset if Darth Vader didn't throw a peanut at me.
He would. He'd probably hit you with a lightsaber.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you'd want that photo forever.
Exactly.
It would be great.
Like, those guys that dress up are insane.
And you get the fans all on the same page, and then, you know, the Raiders go on to win. Gruden runs over there, and he's, like, shaking the hands of the fans in the stands. And it just kind of reminds everybody that the Raiders are going to be in Vegas next year.
Yeah,
and
we'll
it's
be gone
just
next
not
year.
Going to be.
Yeah,
it's not. You're not. This atmosphere. He's like, oh, is this atmosphere going to travel? It's like, no, it's not.
No.
Yeah. Like, it's just
the Chargers.
Not. Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't. It doesn't work that way.
There will be butts in the seats in Vegas, mm-hmm. for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
I'll
not
be one of them
be,
for at least a game.
It's not going to be the Raider Nation that it is now.
No, it will not
be. It's going to be a lot of home teams. People are going to travel. Their trip around Vegas when their team is playing there.
Absolutely.
So they can do a trip to Vegas, just like San Diego. I mean, it's exactly the same thing,
exactly,
except
right.
no gambling.
Right.
It's perfect.
Yep.
And my last little bit of football news is also Monday Night Football related. A little-known running back named Joshua Jacobs made his debut, averaging 100 yards with 2 touchdowns. Who else is in that company? Somebody called LaDainian Tomlinson.
I don't have Josh Jacobs, and it makes me mad. I tried to get him, and I couldn't.
Yes. He's one of 3 players in the past 10 years to have a debut like that.
Yeah.
And LT is one of the other ones.
That's cool.
He's going to be good.
Yeah. Cool.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's it?
That's the news.
Excellent.
And that's the way it was.
I have other stuff, but we need to move on.
Yeah, totally. But we don't have any movie reviews because Matt's
right,
in the room.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the room where it happened. And we don't have anything else. So with that, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Take a break. After these messages,
we'll be right back. It's wrong to make fun of people, you know, but it's so fun sometimes. I've written for some TV shows. And, you know, on a major TV show, you have to be careful about what you say about people because a lot of people get offended, or so it has been explained to me. I was writing for an awards show once, and I got into some trouble. I wrote a joke for this awards show that had the word midget in it. And someone from the network came down to our offices, and he said to me, "Hey, you can't put the word midget on TV." And I said, "I sure would like to." And he said, "No, midget is as bad as the N-word." First off, no. No, it's not. "Do you know how I know it's not?" I said to him. "Is because we're saying the word midget, and we're not even saying what the N-word is. If you're comparing the badness of 2 words, and you won't even say one of them, that's the worst word." I don't mean to complain about censorship at all, though, because as you probably have seen by now, you can basically say whatever you want on television. It's ridiculous. You can say anything you want. And if you don't believe me, you should watch a little program called Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Yeah. A show that I love, because on that show, you can say the grossest things you've ever heard in your life. No, you can't say, like, the F word. You can't say that on Special Victims Unit. But people walk around on SVU going, like, "Looks like the victim had anal contusions." "Yo, looks like we found semen and fecal matter in the victim's ear canal." Those are 2 real things that I heard on Law & Order SVU at 3 in the afternoon. Both spoken by Ice-T. Ice-T is a detective with the Special Victims Unit. He handles New York's most sensitive cases.
Back to the show. So while we were in our commercial break, as we're recording this, it is Wednesday, September 11th. And we had a very, very in-depth 9/11 chat and for the commercial break. And so, yeah. I just wanted to mention it.
But we're going to crank ourselves right back out of it.
But if we're if we seem a little off coming back from the commercial break and we don't sound like we normally do, it's because we were literally all just crying around this table.
Doesn't exactly bring life to a room.
Talking about 9/11.
Yeah.
But we're going to get into it.
So what you watching?
What you watching?
Am I watching?
So we're still behind on things, but I finished Mindhunter season 1.
Right on.
And
so you heard the song that we played?
Yep. And that show is good.
It's stupid good.
Like, real good. Nothing happens in this show. Like, nothing happens. It is the extent, it is full-on dialogue porn at its best.
It really,
where
yep.
It's all just conversations in a room, and the tension is like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? And nothing ever happens. And so much the fact that what's his name? What's the director? I can't think of his name.
From Seven and
Why can't
David
I,
Fincher?
Oh, right. Good lord, I completely brain farted.
You did it, me.
But the whole show is shot on like tripods or dollies, or they're all tracking shots and all this stuff. And at the end of season one, this is no spoiler, but at the end of season one, Holden has a panic attack. And he runs into the hallway of the room, and as soon as he runs into the hallway, it is a handheld shot that's following him down the hallway, and it's like shaky, 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 shaky. And it's so jarring that you're like, what the fuck is happening? And it's like, oh, literally 10 episodes of this show have been on dollies and tripods. It's all stable cam. It's all of it, except for that one moment at the very, very end of the season when it goes to a handheld, and it's like, what the? I had to pause it and rewind it and be like, oh my god, this is amazing. This is why I love movies. And Samantha's like, what are you talking about?
That's the difference between making a strong artistic choice and saying, we've been doing this thing one way the whole time.
Yep.
Now we're going to make a choice to do it like this, and it's going to have a really big impact. Than just being like, so everything's shaky. Oh, this is the way people like to see stuff now for no
jump
good reason
cuts
at all.
And lens flares.
Right. I paused it and I rewound it and I was like, this is why I love movies and stuff. And like, I don't always pick up on this stuff, but this was so different than the whole rest of the show. I paused it and I rewound it and I was like, this is crazy. She's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, did you notice anything when he came into the hall? And she's like, no, he's having a panic attack. And I was like, yes, but they emphasized that, like, I was totally like mansplaining away like a motherfucker, but like, but it was like, but
it's not mansplaining,
yeah, not
if she doesn't have the knowledge,
yeah, right? If you're not thinking about that,
but
thing.
I was like, dude, they changed it to a handheld cam and it's brilliant. She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, you felt the panic attack way more than you would have if they just would have followed him down the hall like they had the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And it's on top of the song,
which is freaking so perfect.
With the handheld, I was just like way into it. And I was like, this is a sign of somebody that knows how to do this shit.
Yep.
They've like, taken a cinematography class.
Right.
Or two.
But like to the umpteenth level. Where sorry you're building so much tension with the score and with the dialogue and just the weird serial killer story aspect of it, and it's nothing's happening except for these stories, and you're like, oh my god, there's so much tension in the room right now, it's crazy. And then shaky cam, and it's like, like just jars you into it. It was like, I couldn't get over it. I was like, this is brilliant.
Yeah. I have a very like, similar experience with something that I watched this past week.
Oh, nice.
I watched Booksmart.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, was that fun?
It was really good.
Nice.
It was really
right
good.
Right on.
The things that stood out the most is the relationship between the two leads is crazy authentic. Like, nice. Feels like a real friendship. They play off of each other really well. They do high school very well, which a lot of these coming-of-age movies these days, that's what stands out. That's something they all have in common is that they get teenagers. Like, they just get it.
Right.
And it's displayed authentically and in a way that's endearing to you. Like, you know, to me, I'm an almost 40-year-old man, nearly. And when I meet teenagers in real life, which does happen to me, I'm like, oh, God, stop talking. Right. But these ones on the screen, I'm like, please tell me more. Like, tell me about your struggle. Like, you know, in my mind, logically, I know, like, oh, the person you like doesn't like you. You know, that happens. That's life. But for them, it's like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And you feel it, like you really feel it.
They pull you into that.
They pull you into it. And everything is very artfully done, very deliberate choices. But there's one scene towards the very end where they do a long take. And it's the only long, I'm pretty sure it's the only long take in the movie.
Yeah.
And it really, really stands out. It's one of the main characters. She dives into a, she's like coming out of her shell. Like she just did karaoke. So it's like, I'm pretty sure it's a long shot from the room where they're doing karaoke. And she's following the girl that she has a crush on. Out to the pool, like, we're all gonna jump in the pool, and just like it's like the euphoria of like teenage success, where you're like, you find like, this is it, like,
I'm
this
doing
is
the, it,
it's happening, like, this is where it's supposed to be,
yeah.
And like, she jumps into the pool, and the camera like follows her into the water, and she's like swimming to like to try and find her crush. And I won't spoil the rest of it for you, but just the way that it's done is so smooth and artful, and you're like, man, this is good. And it stands out because it's different than everything else.
Than what's happening. Yeah. Right.
Just when something like that happens, and you're just like, well done on that.
Yeah, and they have another that's when you really the movie really finds it's like, wow, this is like before that I'm like, oh, this movie's fun. I was like, whoa, this movie's great. And wow. they go from that really well done shot to another they shoot an argument in one take. Like an argument between two people.
I didn't even realize they did that one take.
That argument's in one take.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, so you've seen it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So
right?
You mean like one camera the whole time?
One
camera. Right on.
Yeah. And it pans a little bit back and forth between the two of them. And at one point the audio goes out where you can't even hear like what they're saying anymore, but you can see what they're saying. Like you can read the lips and it's so much more impactful. It's like, that's like those strong, deliberate choices to make something that you're watching so much better than it would have been. If, like, you could have just had the camera on and listen to the dialogue, and it probably would have been fine. But like doing something like that really drives it home for me. That's what makes a movie
They're trying
really
to get you
good.
To feel something rather than just like hear something.
Here's some information, and here's a story. Yeah. But they're evoking.
They're helping you
very
along
specific.
Through deliberate choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like they want you to feel his pain.
But not in a way that
feels
like, ham-fisted or bad. Right. Like, you're like that, wow, that feels good.
It's not the basketball scene in Catwoman.
Dear God.
I'm going to take your word on that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just know it from what he's...
Right.
Cut, cut, cut.
Dutch angle, cut. Dutch angle.
What are you doing? Do you feel like Ed Kemper had... gotten in his head, like just like invaded his that's how I took it, like he had like completely like
I think it's like all of the above. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's hard to talk about without spoiling it, but like him and his girlfriend and like the team kind of like looking down on him ish however you want to kind of word it like that. Right. And then the Ed Kemper thing like happening, it's like I just think it was like he's because they portray him like he's a psychopath. Like they portray Holden like he is a psychopath.
In that right
in
he's,
the
and
show,
he's so detached
in,
from everything.
In, yeah, in the, his manner and how he doesn't smile ever in the show, and like they just portray him like he has no emotions or empathy or anything. And like I'm better than you, and I can get away with anything because they literally portray him like a psychopath.
True.
Which is brilliant because he's interviewing the psychopaths, and it's so well done. It's so well done. And then I just feel like it's the first time that you see him as being a human and not a psychopath.
Right on. I saw a fantastic scene, one of the best episodes of television that I've seen in a very long time.
Really?
Oh, yes. I know what it was.
You do?
I think because I think you texted about it.
Yeah, this latest episode of Succession.
Mm.
Oh, my God, it's. So
I haven't
good.
Seen any of that show.
Is that a Showtime show?
It's
HBO.
Oh, HBO. Okay.
It's so good. And so this is like, to me, like I was literally like just, so this is something that Andrea and I watched together. She kind of got into it after I watched it, and she's kind of like,
This is interesting. Right.
Yeah. So this, they've been kind of setting it up, and the whole thing is built, the whole storyline is built around this very wealthy family. Very wealthy family, who could be, I'm sure they're probably an amalgam of several different real life families.
Mm-hmm.
But the father is going to give up the episode one, season one. The father is handing over the reins to someone, one of the kids, and he decides to not retire and hold on to the company, and essentially pits his kids against each other to try to. Get them to do his bidding, but also like they're with the idea of leading them with this carrot.
Who wants the company?
Right. And they're all.
So it's Arrested Development, but serious.
Sorta. That's so funny. It's not what I think.
I'm sure
it,
not at
is.
All.
Yeah. But and all the characters, they establish all the characters. And this episode into the. Fifth episode of the second season, and the whole first season was really good and very enjoyable. But this episode, they're trying to purchase this media company that is completely ethically on the other side of the aisle than they are. They want to own them, and they know that. So the company that owns the family that owns this company, the Pierce family, invite them, the Roy family, to come to their compound to have a kind of get to know you,
right,
in order to like suss out everybody, all the players, to decide if this is something they want to do or not. So everyone in the Roy family has a, they need to convince all the people who have votings, who have a voting concern, to vote for the sale.
Right.
And so it's like an attack from one team, and then other teams playing defense. Or if the money's right, maybe they'll take it, but they don't want to give up their ethical edge, their whole business thing. The whole business thing is about truth. And this dinner scene is fucking so good that I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God. And everything that you've kind of learned up to this point comes into play, and it's so good. And if you haven't watched Succession, it won't take long to get into it.
And they're in season two?
Season two right now. Wow. And it's season five, or episode five right now. It was this last week.
So like right halfway through season two.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I think it's like maybe nine, yeah. But around that point. But this is definitely like, oh my God. And when you're done with it, and the way they capture it, they talk, and I like that, what I like about HBO, and I'm sure other Showtime does it too. They have the specials, like the extras behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned after the episode.
Right. And they talk about the making of the episode and what they did. And they spent 2 days filming this 15-minute scene around the dinner table. And,
wow.
It's just great. We're talking about great art and great filmmaking. Like, this episode of Succession is right there. It's brilliant.
That's how I feel about Glow. Like, I feel like people don't give Glow enough like
people,
yes,
well, people like, love that show.
I know, but like I feel like
you
it,
don't, like artistically, you don't. Think
I feel it should earn a lot more. Like yeah. I don't know. I don't follow the Emmys, and award shows are a joke anyway. But I feel like everyone on that show should have an Emmy. I feel like that show needs an Emmy. That show's so good. And like season three, I'm not finished with it yet. I'm almost done. But the desert episode of Glow season three is. It's the same thing where it's just everyone is on their game. It's so captivatingly good. And like this group's over here and they're lost in the desert, and this group's over here and this group's sitting around the campfire having like a extremely charged like discussion about like relations and race and sexuality and mm-hmm. like even like your personality and who you are as a person. And like it's like you sitting around a campfire. This is what you would be talking about, sort of, once right. you get down past the superficial level.
Right.
And it's just so good.
I agree. That was good. That was real good. So
I haven't seen that show yet.
Glow?
Yeah. I haven't seen it either.
Highly recommend. Yeah. I mean, I've said it
I
before.
Love it too.
But, yeah. like, everyone highly recommends everything. So if you get to it, great. But I highly recommend Glow.
I highly
recommend this ant documentary.
I was like,
I wanted to hear
go on.
Yes.
That was
yes.
supposed to be a joke. I'm sorry.
You've been watching, recommend something. I'm like, tell me.
I like nature documentaries.
I like stuff.
in lieu of your segment this week, is something you watched this week or in the last TV show?
I've actually watched a couple of things. I mean, I've been binging Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Same.
Oh,
right
my
on.
Gosh.
Right on.
I love that.
That's good.
So
good cotton
so
candy.
Good.
Funny.
I've also, I watched the Dave Chappelle comedy special on Netflix.
I did too.
So did I.
We talked about it last time we recorded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw a couple movies.
We did.
Oh. A little bit, like at the end, or maybe after we stopped.
We didn't, like, talk about it.
No.
Maybe it was after, when I played the impressions. Yeah. Let me do a couple of impressions for you.
Right.
It was after.
Yeah.
We can talk about that.
I'm down. What'd you think of that, Dave Chappelle?
I thought it was great. I thought it was, it's really funny because right now, like, with all, like, the whole, like, cancel culture,
mm-hmm.
like, part of me wants to be like, yeah, I want to be, you know, for like, I want to be on, you know, the right, like, I'm afraid to, you know, make a misstep. But then there's like another part of me that's like, well, like, and I think the biggest thing that kind of tore me was the James Gunn whole ordeal.
Yeah.
Where I had a lot of discussions with friends who are just like, no, man, he said those things once and like, you know, tear him down. Where like, it seems like we might be kind of coming into this, like, this time where it's like, any little thing. Yeah. And, you know, some of it's warranted, but it's like, what's the warranted from the... This is a thing that I said when it was like when society didn't care when I said it.
Right.
Right.
And like
context. Yeah.
And especially like the, you know, the Kevin Hart thing that he talks about.
Right.
Where, yeah. I mean, that kind of hits you, but
it's heartbreaking. Yeah. Like, this is the one is he really, he always wanted this. He wanted to host the Oscars. That was his thing. He wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And they took it from him.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I think we're still waiting to kind of balance out on that. I think, you know, like a lot of things.
I think we're sort of evening out because there's enough people, much like what Matt just said, are feeling like, I don't know. Like, do we really need to take away a person's entire livelihood because they said the wrong thing one time 10 years ago?
That?
I don't think so.
Is no. Like, if you're breaking laws, sure, you're just, go away.
Did you hurt someone?
Right.
Like, physically, emotionally, like, for realsies.
Right. Yeah.
If you're breaking a law,
you're locking somebody in a room, you're doing something shady shit. Like, if you're doing something along those lines, hurting someone is a very good way to put it.
Yeah.
But no, because you can hurt people with words. But you, physically, I don't know. It's just, if you're breaking a law, if you're literally breaking a law, then you should be busted. But if you say anything you want, like, you shouldn't be destroyed.
I think even if it is just words that there's, I mean, we know so much more about mental health now than we did, you know, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I guess there isn't no concrete, tangible, measurable way to say how much did something somebody hear that offended them really affect them.
Yeah.
Or is it something that was directed at them or something that was said to them in their face or in the room from their boss or whatever. It's hard to measure that. I feel like, and you know, at least in court, which isn't the way that we measure everything, especially not socially, but could be a way that we like kind of look at it. Like, what would a reasonable person say? Like, what would a reasonable person say if someone said to them, you know, let's talk about, God, it's the most recent thing. But like, Antonio Brown called the GM of the Raiders a cracker.
Right.
And, like, that's a racial slur. Like, that's not cool. The internet was just on two sides talking about, because there are the people who say, like, end him, end his career, end his life, take everything away from him now because he called the guy a cracker. And people are like, well, hold on. Like, and then there's, like, people trying to get into the historical context and the nuance of, like, that word and what it means. Right. And, like, how much weight does it carry? Like, the word carries a lot of weight for some, no weight for others. And a lot of people landed on, well, let's put it this way. We can say that word. We can't say the other word.
Right. That's not the C word.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Cracker's not the C word.
It's not the C word. It's not the same. Those, and so, we're, not all words are equal. And it's... Even though they all fall under racial slurs, they're separate, but they're equal.
Who has that joke?
Separate and unequal.
Who has the joke about the N-word?
Where it's like, Chappelle had a new joke about the N-word.
It might be John. That was the one joke that got me out of my seat.
Well,
that's what we talked about last time.
Yeah.
The N-word.
Yeah. And he's like, I can't call it.
It's literally the N-word.
That's a different joke. Right. Yeah. That's a different joke.
You called him an asshole. Yeah. Great. You can't say asshole. What? I forget how it goes, but it's comparing two words. And it's like, one of them is called the N-word. Yeah. Like, we can't even say it.
The word.
So it's not the same.
So in Chappelle, he has this whole thing about he goes into standards and practices because he wanted to do a sketch where he uses the word faggot. And they said, you can't use that word. And he's like, all right, you know, no big deal. I'll take it out. And he's like, as I'm walking out, I go, wait a minute. Like, you let me do a sketch where I said the word nigger repeatedly and didn't bat an eye. And they said, he's like, well, so what's the difference there? He's like, well, Dave, you're not gay. And he goes, okay, but I ain't a nigger either. And that was the joke. And I'm like, oh!
Yeah, that was the standing applause. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, just brilliant.
And so, like, there were parts of that special that did kind of make me cringe. Like,
absolutely.
Like the Michael Jackson stuff was like,
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
It's basically him saying, I don't believe those guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe them. I'm like,
sure.
It's
all right.
Sure. Yeah.
Which, you know, that's...
Have an opinion.
That's your prerogative, yeah.
Right.
But it's cool.
That's why you're there.
Is it... Did you make a joke about it, or is it one of his, like, more political, I'm just going to say something...
He does make jokes.
I mean, it's all, like, cohesive. Because
he's
in a
very Chappelle-y. Like, he has a very specific style where he will say a joke, and then he'll say something somewhat sort controversially political or whatever. And then he's like, oh, but here's a joke. Just like the N-word joke you just told, where it's like, oh, that's like a joke on a political level. Yeah. Right. Like,
cuts
to
deep.
The umpteenth level.
It cuts deep.
It's like, that's good.
Deep cut. Yeah.
This one almost seemed to be kind of going away from like a traditional like stand-up, you know, comedy special with like, I'm air quoting jokes.
Right.
Yeah. And more of like a
Carlin special.
Or like a one-man show or something like that.
It did feel very Carlin, yeah.
Because Carlin, I mean, he had jokes, sort of. Mm-hmm. But Carlin would just get up there and rant about whatever's happening in the world that needed to be ranted about.
Yeah.
And he did it in a funny-ish way. But, like, George Carlin did not tell you jokes. Like, he had a couple good zingers here and there.
Yeah.
But he's not a famous comedian for telling you, you know, Carlin what's the deal Carlin with airplane for, food. Yeah. Like, he wasn't
deconstructing social norms.
He was observational, not on a minute level like a Seinfeld. He was observational on a global political level.
Yeah. Right.
Which is different.
God, I miss him.
Speaking of which, I hope I didn't hijack the Chappelle one. But I did watch Colin Quinn's Red, White, and Blue. There's a special on Netflix.
Is it new?
It's new. Yeah, it's new. And it's on Netflix, and it's good. And it's a little. It's definitely a show, like a one man show.
Mm-hmm.
Really well done and really thoughtful. And he doesn't necessarily jump onto any particular political stance, but kind of like points attention and draws attention to a lot of the ludicrousness of kind of all
everything,
the different views.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. So that Red, White, and Colin Quinn.
Yeah, just that Colin Quinn.
Special.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Yeah. It's definitely worth watching.
So. Anybody seen new Bill Burry?
I was just going to mention that.
I have not watched
it. I haven't seen
yet.
It yet, but
I
he
see
was.
Out.
Manny?
In the news.
I have not. I was going to mention that there was a quote that Bill Burr said that I liked. I think he's probably like on Conan or something, but regarding the like the cancel culture, saying like, you know, if everybody just had like every thought that they like normally have, like just being like tweeted constantly, would any of us have jobs on Monday?
Nope. Unhirable. Yeah. Everybody would.
Yeah.
And anybody who says, oh, I'd be fine. No, you're a liar.
Liar.
Like, you think dark things and think terrible things all the time.
And then that anonymity of the internet allows you to express them, to float them to see, right? Am I right, folks? Am I right?
And I think, and you obviously have a very strong comedy background because you've worked in and around and done it for a very long time. I think we need to let comedians be comedians. And they need to be able to say... I need to be able to say whatever. Honestly.
It's true, and it's almost like a right wing like free markets ideology. It's like the market will take care of it.
Exactly.
You know, it'll
and
it'll
if people
take
don't
care.
Like them, they won't be famous.
Yeah,
you know?
There is what I did find out, and this is like very shocking to me. But I mean, there is an audience for everybody. There's this one comic that would always come to the American Comedy Company where I worked, and. I mean, he was just like all of his jokes were very, almost down on women, like all the time.
Sure.
And just ripping them up and saying like, oh, you're not laughing at that. It's cause you're fat or, you know, like stuff like that. And it's just the worst. And like the owner's like, I don't understand why he's funny, but you know, he sells. And, like the whole, like, you know, our wait staff are like, I hate this guy. I hated it. Like, I'm just like, I am not on board with anything this guy says.
Right.
His whole audience was mainly women. And
really?
Yeah, like, it's like basically like PB, like bust in, like, like a bunch of like 20 somethings.
That's a psychological experiment waiting to happen.
Right. I could not, I'm like, oh, everybody's going to hate this dude. And they loved him, and he's, you know, he's up, he's pretty, and like after like of an hour of him just like demeaning women, he's like basically like to the level like Andrew Dice Clay, like it seemed like he was trying to be like
but not being
less
a character,
right.
But he's like, hey you over there, what's your kind of guy? And you are. I'm like, really? This is the kind of guy? Somebody that crazy. Talks this way? But it's. I remember, like, the owner always told me, he's like, there's an audience for every single kind of comic. Mm-hmm. You just have to find your voice and, like, market it. It's like, I personally don't see why this guy's famous, but apparently he is.
But like what you were saying
he was a Chelsea handler person too.
That's crazy.
Which I was like, what?
That kind of makes sense. I mean, she's kind of edgy like that. Like, but she's also kind of a jerk, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Like, and that's like that kind of jerk. There's like a jerk club. Humor. The jerk club.
The jerk club.
And we allowed, like, collectively audiences allow them to be jerks. Because it's like, well, somebody has to be.
Right. Yeah. Well, what you were saying is, like, we should let comedians be comedians. Mm-hmm. And, like, my caveat to that would be, like, if they're good. Like, you have to be good.
Well, and that's like, the BJ's point. Because the market will take care of it. If they're not good, we won't see them.
Right, because I remember when we went to New York, Matt.
Oh, yes.
And you were like, ooh, I'm going to do a pop-in at an open mic. Yeah. Yes, at an open mic to do comedy in New York. And we're all, like, all about it. We're like, yes, Matt, you need to do an open mic here in New York.
That's awesome.
And, like, the first three people that went up were just telling, like, if you take the D train, you're going to be stupid. And, like, what's very, 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 very specific to if you live in New York, you might get the joke.
Right.
And, like, all of us from San Diego who are the entire crowd are like, what? Like, no idea.
Euphemism for a penis. Right. D-train.
Didn't understand any of it.
See, now that's funny.
Was the baby door guy right before you or right after you?
Maybe. I think he
was before because he made Anya leave.
Yeah.
So, this guy gets up and, like, they weren't even jokes. Like, it was just like, bitches, right? I know, things along those lines, to where he ended up calling vagina a baby door.
It's like, I like just, those baby doors or something.
It was so bad to the point where Anya, who was with us, who we love, she was like, nope, got up and bounced. And I'm like, ooh, I want to follow you, but Matt's on next.
Gotta watch Maddie. She's got to understand. You got to support your boy.
But it was so
cringy.
Bad. And he was like, and that's apparently a lot of the open mics and the beginning comics who were like, I'm just going to say the most vile shit so I can be edgy and I can, like, this will be my shtick. And it's like, sure, you grew up watching Tosh on TV, and, like, Tosh gets away with it because he's Tosh and he's Tosh. Famous and he has
and
a very
he's funny.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's funny and he has a way of doing it to where you're like, oh, man, can you believe what Tosh just did?
Like, delivery is
right
a lot of it.
And personality and style and cadence and timing and every – it's comedy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And because Tosh is famous and on TV – Joe Schmo from around the block is like, ooh, I now know my next joke. It's going to be about these bitches and their baby door. And it's like, woof, dude.
Yeah.
There's no joke here. You're just saying outlandish stuff.
Like, if the joke's not going to be well written, then you need to be a character.
Yes.
Right. You need to be watchable and engaging and somebody that people want to see.
Like Andrew Dice Clay, who didn't really tell good jokes. I mean, this is the 80s, too. But, like, he wasn't telling good jokes, but, like,
he was a character.
He was a character who was a womanizer. Like, oh, hey, these bitches love me. Oh.
Just around the subject of jokes, I'm going to share one that Ryan Shore shared today because Shores has, like, very different types of humor in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And then every now and then he'll surprise me. And I've been watching him do comedy for a fucking long time.
Yeah.
And he wrote a joke today that I laughed all by myself out loud to. And it's one of those things that probably a specific group of people are going to get it.
Right.
But it's a wide specific group of people. And he says, every time I see Eric Trump's face, I feel like I'm eventually going to have to ski race him to save the youth center or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like,
well done.
That's fucking great. Yeah. Like, and you look at a picture of his face, you're like, yep, that's exactly what he looks like. He looks like a villain from the 80s ski movie.
90s villain. Like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. And it a joke that's well-crafted like that.
Right.
Doesn't really have to be delivered very well.
Right.
The words kind of do all the work.
That's why I love... Because Shores on stage is different than Shores on the podcast that he does, which is different than the Shores on Facebook that he does, which is, like, he knows his audiences for whatever he's doing.
The audience and the medium.
Because that's the sign of a comedian that's been doing comedy for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, you just know how to do it.
Yeah.
You don't just get up in an open mic and start saying the N-word 20 times
it's
in a row.
It's the thing that people that give speeches at all the things that I do lack is the ability to read the room.
Yeah.
They know where they are, and they know what'll play.
Oh, speaking of comedy and chores, I believe like a little while back, there's like this discussion that happened, and there's a comedian that ultimately like ended up challenging chores. Do you know, like, physically?
I saw that whole thing.
Dude, yeah, I read the whole thing. And
so, I'm going to call him a little bitch to his face.
So tonight is supposed to be that.
Yes, when it all comes they're doing to that head. Show so, right now.
So what is now? So what's the idea is that they're going to both do comedy?
Yeah, they're going to do comedy.
So get this. Tonight, Ryan Shores, it's September 11th. He is doing a show at the Ken Club where he is fighting, quote-unquote, Damian Mercado, who's another San Diego comic. They're in a bounce house with like big inflatable puffy gloves, and it's two comedians who are really good friends supposedly fighting in a bounce house, and that's like the headlining act. And this other guy turns out supposed to be doing the one of the opening sets, and he is just a nut job. Like, he sided with this guy that like claimed Shores is trying to steal people's like brewery gigs, and Shores is like, I run 3 brewery gigs and that's what I do.
Why would I?
Yeah,
I'm not trying to steal another one. And then this comic sided with the guy that was like trying to convince. It's a whole long diatribe.
Yeah,
we don't really need to get into it.
Is it a beautiful piece of scripted entertainment?
No, not at all. It went down this troll hole. So Shores is very proud of and good at what he calls troll patrol, where his wife is a very lovely buxomy lady who does like nude modeling and burlesque stuff and fetishy kind of stuff, and. She gets
come up.
DMs and all sorts of stuff from internet folks all the time. And like his mission in life is to troll the bejesus out of them. And he's like, to the point where he'll like, oh, I see that you're married. Why are you sending a dick pic to my wife? Like, let's see what your wife feels about that. Yeah. And like, he'll say that. And then all of his fans are crazier than he is. And then they find out about this. And then they destroy these people's lives. And so he's like, this is when troll goes too far. He's like, I'll put them on blast and like tell a joke to their face, and then the internet takes over, and he's like,
"My crew will ruin you."
Right. To the point where this guy was doing the same thing, and like Shore's like, put him on blast. He's like, I'm not stealing nothing. Why are you taking this guy's side? And it went down this whole thing to where it ended, where the guy was like, I'm gonna call you a little bitch to your face and see what you do about it. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he found out like 2 days later that he was booked on this show that Shores is booked as a fighter. And he's like, oh. And like sent Shores a direct message, something like, I was just joking.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm curious to see what happens tonight, if anything.
I'm sure we'll get the exciting conclusion.
I'm going to be tuning
on your Facebook tomorrow.
Scouring my Facebook tonight.
Honestly, that's like one of the main things I even go on Facebook for is Shores' comedy.
Yeah, Shores' page. That's
the drama.
That's also what I've been following this week.
There you go.
Main source of entertainment.
Right on.
It's a whole story.
Oh, it's crazy.
Right on, right on.
Yeah. Anybody else watching anything?
I watched all kinds of shit.
Ooh, do tell.
All night.
Do tell.
What did I watch?
Anything else fun?
Remember anything? God, what was that? Oh, yeah, we had a whole thing in the chat about this.
What?
We watched Get Over It.
Ooh, yes. Oh. Yes, yes, yes.
Deliberately.
I love that movie.
For Bad Movie Night.
I love it.
That is, it's not, let me back up.
Is that Midsommar?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Sort of.
It's so good.
So good. I described it in the Life's a Binge chat as, it's like an executive saw 10 Things I Hate About You and said, let's do that, but badly.
It's really not poor. Bad.
It is so... When was the last time you watched it?
I don't know, a month ago?
Really?
Yes.
I just remember...
It's on HBO, and it's fantastic.
Oh, it's so
I just
not
remember
good.
There's like that porn joke about they're like trying to download porn, except it's the modem is like too slow or something that. So they're just like waiting for it to load. So it's like a joke that would be in... Captain Marvel with like slow, but it's actually like it was at that time like a cutting edge joke of like, hey, let's make fun of how like the latest technology is slow.
Yeah.
Now, what year was this? Did it come out?
2002.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Like early 2000s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Starring Cisco and Ben Foster in the role of school shooter. Like, have you, like, watch
Cisco the thumbs
look
on.
At his,
wait,
the thing?
What?
Look at Ben Foster's demeanor throughout this entire movie. It looks like he's going to lose his shit at any moment and destroy the place.
But he does lose his shit a couple times.
It's like totally one note. But like, he's just the angry kid.
Nah.
And like, because she dumped him. Like, let it go, dude.
What, Martin Short was in that movie?
Yes. And Martin,
Martin Short
fantastic.
Is the reason to
he's
watch this
so
movie.
He's so good in that movie. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to watch this movie.
Mila Kunis is like there.
Yeah, she's
sort
there.
Of. Who else is in that?
Kirsten Dunst, Colin Hanks.
Yeah, Colin Hanks. I'm like, Colin Hanks, why?
Shane West. Come on, dude. It's classic.
Colin Hanks,
it's not good. It's not good at all. Not even a little bit.
It's
so and they had, it's like they can't decide whether they want the actual narrative of the movie to be like Midsommar or like, because they're doing
they're
the play
doing both.
Midsommar
right, they're
as
doing
well.
Both.
It, but neither works well. Like, even a little bit.
The musical's fantastic.
The musical is watchable. The best part of the movie is the credits scene. Like, there's like a whole Cisco dance number. Like, that's
or
far
the,
and above the
or the
part.
Opening scene where he gets dumped and then leaves her house. And then I think it's Vitamin C comes out and sings.
It's Vitamin C, yeah.
Yeah, she comes out and sings.
Yeah.
But he, as he's walking down the street and, like, it's a whole choreographed dance number.
It's a very.
And that's a one shot take as well. It's fantastic.
One shot takes.
That was jarring.
So
I'm
good.
Like, what are we watching? What did we pick?
The mailman and the UPS guy start dancing together. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
It is so good.
I can't get over it.
Not good.
But I love that movie. But again,
I'm glad you love
it. I grew up in high school theater.
Me too.
And that's why I think why I love it so much. Because
maybe why I hate it so much.
It's the show is so perfect. High school theater.
Down here we call it pocket full of ass.
And
that's like the one thing that got me. I'm like, yeah, that's funny.
Dude, and the techies are perfect.
Yeah.
And dude, it's so good.
Yeah.
The Martin Short as the drama teacher is fantastic. And he's like, what was it? He's like, oh, I remember when Bobby De Niro once told me. Well, I read it in an interview. I remember I wrote this song. Oh, I wrote that. I originally wrote that song for Miss Diana Ross. And then he like goes into this like far off look, and it's his, you literally see his memory pop up
on
and
the
he's
screen,
like,
yeah.
She's at a red carpet, and he's like a young teen. Miss Ross, yeah. Miss Ross, I wrote you this song, and it's like on a cassette tape. It's so good.
The Martin Short shtick is. The only
5 minutes of
the movie
at most.
It's not enough. There's not enough of it, honestly. They could have done more.
The audition where the what's his name is this guy is the best Kevin Wong or whatever, and he's like, it's the same, blah, blah, blah. And he sings the opera song. He's like, oh yeah, of course he's gonna get it. And then Shane West comes in, who's the former boy band. I could go off about how good this movie is. Shane West comes in, he's the former boy band guy.
Complete
he plays a song and.
Rolling my eyes the entire time.
Forrest Oates is like, oh, this guy's good. He's the best one. And then you see Wong in the back and get mad. And then Foster gets up there to sing. He's like, I'm going to do a part of Oberon doing song first. And he's like, what? I have to sing?
Yeah.
He sings the Big Red theme song, baby. That's good shit.
But he just looks. his expression is like full of rage. Like, you're going to come to the screen and murder me, I think.
It's so good.
I couldn't. Couldn't
so you've seen
movie.
This, Maddie?
I did a long time ago, and I'm just like,
watch it again.
It's almost like I didn't see it as you guys are describing it right now. I'm like,
you can go through it.
The weird cutaways to when it's like he's imagining them like as the actual characters in Midsommar, but not really.
That's
and,
the weird part. Yeah.
So I think we're gonna have to settle this, Maddie.
Yeah, I'll have to take another gander at this.
Take another look at it.
Next week on What Do I Know? Yeah. Get over it.
Oh God.
I wrote a little note. Yeah. Get over it. So I remember to watch it.
Yeah,
I still have some movies to get through to, I don't know.
BJ, you're going to hate it.
You think
you will hate it. I know for a fact BJ will hate this movie.
I think you'll hate half of it, and I think you'll laugh at half of it.
I think you're being generous.
Nah.
I think it'll enrage
BJ. You did high school theater, right?
I did.
Then you'll think it's funny.
Wait, did you ever get directed by anybody like of note? In high school?
Not in high school. That was in college.
Oh,
but I wasn't actually in college at the time. But my friends were in college. And yeah, Brendan Fraser. No big deal. Have we ever mentioned that ever?
I don't think so.
In the history of everything?
No.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser. He's a friend of mine. No big deal. We parted together.
That's cool. Day. Were you ever in a movie or anything?
Oh, yeah, funny you should ask. I was in a movie.
Really?
San Diego entertainment icon James Vasquez.
No shit,
directed,
dude.
Wrote and directed this movie.
Wow. Was there anybody cool in it?
Oh, only the Carrie Preston, who's married to, who's been on Big Love. Or, oh, no.
True Love.
True Love. True Blood.
True Blood.
True Blood. True Blood, who's married to Ben from Lost.
Oh, wait. I was also in a movie with Ben from Lost.
What was it called?
It was called 29th and Gay.
Oh, you were in that movie.
I was.
Same director. We've worked for the same director.
Yeah,
guys,
yeah,
guys.
Different. Yes,
you pick up the stuff off the floor that you dropped.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like when you have like one little film credit, you know, like it reminds me of the movie I was in. So it's like they got to drop it all the time.
I actually.
No, you don't.
True story.
I don't
neither
all the time.
Neither of you drop it all the time.
No.
Drop.
Oh. Yep.
I actually, from that movie, Sebastian, because he was the producer, like threw all the everybody in that movie up on IMDb, so I got like a credit. Except that credit went to the other famous, more famous Matt Warburton.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no.
Simpsons producer. So he, for a while, he had one acting credit, and then it got like sorted out. So I wonder if he's like, I was not in a movie called 29th and Gay.
I swear I didn't do it.
He was like, what's the 80s were a weird time.
Man, do you have a copy of that movie?
No, I haven't seen it. But for once.
I saw it. It was.
You did?
Yeah, it was cute. And I saw you. I remember.
I was the annoying tram guy. I didn't have any lines, but I went up and like pulled the tram stop.
There's a lot of folks. Yeah. There's a lot of folks in it that you're like, oh, hey, look at them. That's cool.
That's like, I think Darcy. Crew SeaWorld former. She posted like she's going back and watching all the old Veronica Mars stuff, which was filmed at Stu Siegel in San Diego when that was a thing.
It's funny you should bring that up, Jared.
Why?
I was on Veronica Mars.
You were on Veronica Mars.
I was extra on Veronica Mars.
Well, that's what she said. She's like watching an episode going, is that Matt Thompson? Wait, that is, or she's that looks like Matt Thompson.
He has like a line.
Or? That is Matt Thompson. I don't know.
I think he mentioned that before.
Like so many people in San Diego were on Veronica Mars
I love that.
It filmed here in San Diego.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
At that's the cool. time when it was the only thing that in the show Renegade were like the things that they filmed at Stu Siegel.
Yeah.
And like that, so if you watch it, you're like, ooh, they're driving up like the 5 right there by Torrey Pines.
Didn't they do some of Sons of Anarchy there? Like,
I don't think so. Stu Siegel's been shut down forever. Maybe it's just a big studio. It's just sitting there.
It's sitting there empty?
Sitting, I think so.
They, I
unless
think
they finally turn it into like a strip mall or industrial area or something.
They still do. I feel like it might be like some sort of like very small like offices. I think they might do something out of there. I don't know. Hmm. It just seems like weird that they would leave everything up there. Like
that's a lot of space.
And that studio diner right next to it.
Yeah, studio diner.
Is that still up?
It's still up.
That's
it's
still there.
It's no longer 24 hours, but it's like 6 to 10. 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. or something like that. But yeah. But yeah, it's still cooking, making.
Bring back the studios.
Hell yeah.
We should. We absolutely should.
Yeah.
We absolutely should.
I'll go make
as, lab as an arts community, we
more
should bring
arts
it back.
Town.
That's right.
Yeah. For real.
Anything else other than get over it? No.
I
can talk about that all day.
I have other stuff. We can be back pocket for next time.
Sure.
We don't go all too long.
Anybody else want to mention anything before we wrap it up?
I love you all.
Cool. Oh, I actually saw one of the movies that I bashed.
Reviewed?
Oh, the Bad Trailers
the
one?
The Bad Trailers one.
Which oh, okay.
One? I saw Good Boys.
Oh, okay.
How was it?
Was it okay?
I didn't care for it. It was weird because everybody else in the theater really enjoyed it, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Were they all 12?
I mean, they were younger.
Yeah.
For the most part. But it was
Is it rated R?
It's rated R.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's hard R, kids screaming fuck and
Oh, that's
stuff.
The my boy. My boy did that movie, right? Is that the Seth Rogen one?
Well,
I think he's a producer
on it. He's a producer on it. It's actually some other like Lee Eisenberg and from radio.
He's in the commercial on the internet for it.
Yeah. Well, he's like the name power, but
right.
It's just like I kind of felt like I was watching a lot of already hashed up jokes.
Sure.
Like the opening scene in it is like beat for beat the opening scene in American Pie. but just like how it would be with like an 11-year-old.
Right.
Which also is kind of weird.
I just don't know why there's an audience for that, because it's hard R, so
yeah.
You have to be an adult to get in, but then you're watching 11-year-olds go through puberty to like discover who they are, and I'm like, who is this movie for? Like, it's not Big Mouth on Netflix.
Yeah, we've already got Big Mouth.
Right, it's not that. It's that really real. Well. And, like, it does it really well because it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't need to see an 11-year-old kid, like, I don't know. I don't know who the movie's for.
It's one of those lines where you're like, I see, this is a real thing, like, and I know that, but watching it on screen,
like, what's the actual plot? Are they, like, they're not trying to get laid or anything, are they?
So, it's basically that storyline, but, like, if you brought it down to, you know, 11-year-old.
Holding hands or first kissing.
So, they're trying to get to...
Did you see your bra strap? Like,
they're trying to get to a party. And at the party, there's going to be kissing. And so one kid who's like, who's just basically like really interested all of a sudden about kissing.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, we got to get to this party and do all this stuff. And like ultimately, it's about him wanting to do this and his friends aren't there yet, but they're like, okay, well, we want to be cool.
Stranger Things season 3 there did it better.
exactly. So
Booksmart does that better.
Right on. Yeah. There's, I mean, it's just like there's other movies that I felt kind of do it better. Or
different though.
Yeah, or a little bit differently. And I think too, like the kind of thing of this movie is that it's like all the kids don't really know what. Like this is one of the things that happened was like, well, let's practice kissing. And so they're, you know, trying to figure it out. And they like, oh, well, my parents, they have this CPR doll up in the bedroom.
Sure.
So we can practice on that.
Because everyone has one of those.
They go up there. It's clearly a sex doll.
Right.
And then... So then, like, the guy...
Actually, it sounds like it should be funny.
It's kind of funny. Like, it's a funny joke.
Which, yeah, it's a funny joke. But then, like this guy sitting next to me, they're, like, you know, talking the whole time. I ultimately didn't really care. I was like, whatever. Right. But he was like, what kind of a CPR doll is that?
Like, see, but see...
Like, really?
But see, that's a funny concept. And I imagine in this hard R where they're going for, like, shock and awe stuff, and it's clearly, like, a sex doll with an open mouth or whatever, and so who knows what's been in there. And I'm sure they take it too far.
Yes.
I'm guessing. Where it's like, oh, they're going to practice kissing on a sex doll. Ha-ha, it's clearly been, like, something's been in that mouth before.
Yeah.
And then they zoom in with, like, a tongue. Like, I can just picture it in my head. A
drip of saliva somewhere.
Right. And it's just like... Like, I'm sure they go too far. Well, we don't need to know.
Okay, I won't tell
but
you.
I'm sure it's not. Like that's the funny joke, where it's like they pull it out of the closet, and it's like, oh, haha, funny gag,
but
next.
The trope that Matt brought up is the getting to the party trope, which has been done
since forever.
Oh, yeah.
Since forever. Booksmart does that really well, because their impetus for going to the party is something not totally different than we've ever seen. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Can't Hardly Wait, but even those guys weren't the main characters.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
But their whole thing is they're the nerds
in
school, and they've focused on school the entire time. You know, they're young feminists. They're very intelligent and honestly kind of snobby, which it all kind of unfolds. Like, you learn more about their characters, you learn more about the other characters in the movie. But the driving force for them to want to go to this party is that Beanie Fields, the main girl, she realizes that they spent their entire 4 years at high school focusing on getting good grades so they can get in good colleges, but all the cool kids got good grades and got into colleges too and had fun at the same time. She's like, that's not fair. I'm like, that's a cool little twist on that. Like, I haven't seen it quite like that before.
So we
need to go.
We could have been having fun.
We could have been having fun too. Right. Yeah. So we should go have some fun.
And it's their like last big hoorah before they have to go to college or whatever.
Yep.
And have more big hoorahs in college.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right on.
Cool. Yeah. So you don't recommend that one?
Well, here's
no,
the...
No good boys?
Here's the
bad
thing,
boys.
Though. I mean, everybody else in the theater was, like, cracking up, which I was like, but this is literally, like, a joke. I feel like they... there's, like, one joke I'm like, I heard this joke from somebody else. Like, it just felt like they were using other material. I'm like... What can you at least write something new? It almost seemed like they're writing something that they thought it would be a Seth Rogen movie.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. you know, he only produced it.
I wanted to say that he wrote it, too, because it was just another thing to pile on. Like, it I sucked mean, with Seth Rogen. Yeah, he sucks. Puts out shitty stuff. Go ahead.
But,
go ahead.
Don't hide your feelings, BJ.
He produces that kind of stuff.
Yeah, oh, he produced it. Oh, he produces shit.
But
oh man, sausage.
I mean,
party.
Every. Yeah, I mean, everybody.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I own it.
Oh no.
Also,
did anybody else see Sausage Party?
He didn't. He didn't write that one either.
Sausage Party.
Yeah.
Anybody see it?
That's no. So stupid. I didn't get through it. That was a movie I literally did not get through. Thing.
All I know about it is that there's a food orgy at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And even people who are like into gross stuff are like, that goes a little too far.
Oh, the whole movie, they say the F word every other word.
It's ludicrous.
It's like the concept of the movie is really funny. There's a bunch of funny jokes. There's a bunch of very inappropriate stuff. And they say the F word too much. That's like how I can wrap it up. Like there was a bunch of stuff that made me laugh, but I couldn't get over them saying the F.
Like use another joke. That's my take on that. Is like using like
right
when that's like that's right, your joke.
Exactly.
It's like we use the F word a lot. Well, okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean it's funny,
but also their children saying the F word.
Yeah. Right. Or a talking hot dog saying it.
Right.
It's really funny when a jar of mustard.
Things that normally wouldn't say the F word are saying the F word.
I don't know, like...
But just take that one word out. You fucking don't need to say fucking when you're fucking going to the fucking movies theater. Like, it's that kind of thing,
right?
But in joke form where it's like, why is it... Why? Why is it there? Like, just take that one word out of the movie and it's funnier already. Mm. Like, which is weird to say. But, like, just give... There's a reason they give you one in, like, a PG-13. You get one. You one F-bomb.
Use it wisely.
Use it
right.
Well, yeah.
Use it well. Or not at all. So, anyway. That's
which is kind of, like, it's brilliant because that kind of censorship is the reason why South Park is... The South Park movie is named... The
Bigger,
way
Longer,
was,
Uncut. Bigger, right.
Because it was, like, originally going to be, like, South Park... Or, goes to hell or something like that, and then the censors are like, "You can't say hell."
Oh my like, goodness!
How about bigger, longer, and uncut?
Right?
It's a dick joke in the title. Plus,
oh, that's fine. Yeah,
that's wonderful. Yeah,
you're not using any curse words.
It's so great to watch that and realize like how Book of Mormon kind of clearly like evolved from that.
Oh yeah,
it's so good. That South Park movie is so good. South Park itself is just great.
It oh yeah,
good.
But
cool.
Anyway, so yeah, Good Boys is currently sitting at a 79% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. So I don't know.
No. Rotten Tomatoes is garbage.
I did listen to Joe Rogan talk about Rotten Tomatoes and the new Chappelle thing, and apparently, like,
the audience score is 99%.
It was 0% when they first like put it out. Yeah. Apparently, they only asked a couple certain type of people to review it.
Yeah.
It is stupid, and I think there's probably more to that story if I ever looked into it.
Right.
I used to believe that was like, ooh, that's the one good one that I can trust. But
Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
No.
IMDb used to be pretty good.
You can usually get a good idea of it if you take the critic score and then you take the audience score and you kind of go, it's probably somewhere in the middle.
You know what? You like, if you, because I never look at reviews before I go see a movie.
Right.
Like, that's what the trailer's for that.
Right.
Like, if I see the trailer, I'm like,
that looks good.
That looks interesting.
Yeah,
I'll go check it out.
It's piqued your interest.
Right.
Right.
I'd like to avoid it if I can.
Yeah. But if you want to look at that, check out Letterboxd.
Okay.
LETTERBOXD.com. The reviews there are mostly from real people who've
right
seen
on.
It. Like regular ass people.
That's why I like IMDb review.
Yeah.
It's like user based and not critic based. But that's why, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes does have both. But again, it's just like, and the trolling of movies now is like, it pisses me off.
This Brigade, this movie we haven't even seen.
Yeah, this movie's not even out yet, but it sucks. It has a 2% rating. It's like, what?
I wanted to see
The
Hunt.
Not even out
the
yet.
Hunt? Was that what it was?
Oh, yeah.
That got canceled?
Yeah.
I wanted to see that.
It's The Hunt. Dumb. Oh, man. Okay, well, we're just rambling now about movie reviews.
My hip needs to get prone here pretty soon.
So let's get out of my garage. Maddie, thanks for being here, man. You got anything to plug or just this show or what?
Plug.
I wish I had another active podcast to plug. Right now, this is it, which actually it kind of makes a nice little thing. It just, you know, I do the crap out of my little segments.
And you do it very well.
Very well, Maddie. We love your stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very kind.
Yes.
You're fired, by the way.
Oh.
We're cutting that segment. We don't have enough time in our two-hour ramblings about bullshit.
It's understandable. I'll be doing
is
my...
Is it, though?
No, yeah, it's super fun. Maybe I should start something else, though. But right now, I'm in the midst of all this moving crazy,
and getting married,
and
doing stuff for us.
So then, this is the one actually like creative thing that I have right now, which is really nice because it fulfills like my writing and my performance, and then my like editing and like sound design creativity. So this is what life's a binge is to me.
Checks the boxes.
All of it.
Right on, man. It's nice to have it. You put yourself into it. And I hear it and feel it every time. So
you know
who really
hears it? Tony Lawrence.
Tony loves it.
And he sends his stuff to me to have me edit.
Make it like his.
Yeah. Do it like Patty, Tony.
Just give us a product. We'll put it on.
Exactly. But for real, though, your segment's really good. Always. And it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate it a lot. But let's get out of my garage. Thanks, everyone out there, for listening to the show. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
I'm Matt.
And we'll see you on the couch. Life's a binge.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do?
Okay, all right.